Today on Catfish Best Source, we introduce you to a whole new way of tournament fishing. We introduce you to the creators of fishing tournament app Fish Donkey. From the studios of Grand Forks Best Source, welcome to Catfish Best Source. I'm your host, Brad Durick, joined by producer Paul. Thank you all for joining us. So today we have something I've been pretty excited to talk about. Tournament fishing has kind of gone odd, I would say, with all the COVID stuff. But luckily we had Darren and Bonnie from Fish Donkey. Darren Amundson and Bonnie Amundson, welcome to the show. And they're locked up.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
Hi, guys.
So, Fish Donkey is an app for online fishing tournaments, which I've already established with the show intro. Tell us what, I guess, possessed you to get into this, and it seems like you hit the timing about right as far as rolling it out, and now I see some new improvements we're going to talk about later. So just kind of tell us how it all came to fruition and started out.
So it started by, we were down in Texas, actually, and was looking for a good business that could be ran in Minnesota. And I've always been looking for that. And this idea came up that we could have a app that would prevent cheating, so it would enable you to enter fish from anywhere. You would be able to fish competitively and not have to be in the exact same location and not have to be at a specific spot for a weigh-in at the end of the day or for a boat check at the beginning of the day. And so our app can really do both those things. You can do boat check. You can check live wells and stuff at the beginning of the day. It'll prevent cheating, and so you don't need to be at the same location as the people you're fishing against, which all of a sudden means you can have tournaments that are ran widespread, which is a great fit for all the COVID regulations that we're having to deal with right now.
So when did this all come to – when did you start working on it, and how long did it take to actually roll it out?
At least a year in development.
Yeah.
2018.
I was kind of slow to start with. Yeah. Didn't really start coding. Like after the idea came up, we kind of kicked it around for a while. And then we didn't really start coding until like to the end of 2016. And then 2017, we were doing testing and making changes and stuff. And then that summer we came out with it, but we didn't really, like Darren Joseph, I think, is our first user, who's going to probably be on here shortly. But we didn't have a lot of customers at that point. We didn't know anybody. We were from outside the fishing industry. And our software basically worked exactly the same as it does now. I mean, now we have more features because we continue to work on it and develop new things. But it really is essentially the same. It's kind of funny, because sometimes people say, oh, your software is getting better. I'm like, I kind of did that all along. You just didn't know it.
Well, yeah, I really hope Darren comes in and talks about it, because I know he was one of the very first adopters. And, I mean, because of him, I knew about it early on. And I think we actually talked a couple times way early on, long before I started running a tournament with it, just to kind of get a feel for it. But So how did you get in touch with him for that first tournament or some of those first tournaments? How did they find you? Did you actually go out and look for tournaments to run it, or you just kind of threw it out there and hoped it came back to you that somebody would use your app?
Yeah, surprisingly, some people did. I don't know how they find it. They just did download the app and start using it. Like a guy from Australia joined our demo tournament. And he called me and he's like, I don't know. I was just trying to find something to use with my mates. I was like, I don't know how this happened that we got someone in Australia as an early user. But like Darren Joseph specifically runs a lot of catfish and sturgeon tournaments, big fish tournaments, and he's a big fish guide. And I knew him because we went to high school. We went to the same high school. He's a few years younger than me. We played on the same basketball team, so we knew each other, and I don't remember how I first contacted him. Sent him a Facebook message or a text or something.
Darren just jumped in with us here. So can you hear us, Darren? Are you with us? I am getting nothing. Okay, go back to what you were saying, Bonnie.
We also went to some trade shows and we started talking to groups of people and maybe resorts who might want to start running fishing tournaments. So we were starting to really feel the market and see what it was all about. And I think we were a little bit ahead of the curve because a lot of people didn't really want to talk to us back in like 2017, 2018. And I remember the exact moment that we approached a booth with the Women Anglers of Minnesota, also known as WAM. And we started talking about it. And the person we were talking to about it in the booth turned around and said to Kristen Merwin, who was sitting in the back of the booth, and started saying a little bit about what we were talking about. And Kristen Merwin, who was the president of WAM at the time, we didn't know who she was or that she was president of the women's club either. She just kind of dropped everything she was doing and stood up and started talking to us, and she got it in a heartbeat.
Smart lady.
Yeah. So yeah, in addition to Darren Troseth, really the Women Anglers of Minnesota adopted us really very quickly. So they received the concept with open arms.
Yeah, and then I think it might have been the next ice fishing season at the St. Paul Ice Show. WAM was running an event, and Val Tesh was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I was trying to talk to Aaron Weeb
from Uncut Angling.
Yeah, and
Canadian.
Like I don't remember. I didn't like chase him down. I like ran into him in the hallway, and Val Tesh came by, and she was waiting to talk to Aaron.
But, along with hundreds of other people.
Yeah, there was like a line, and I was like, people started lining up after I started talking to him. And but the funny thing was, Val Tesh came. She's a Minnesota angler, a great female fisherman, also a member of WAM, fishes on Mille Lacs Lake a lot for walleye. Great, great fisherman, woman, angler. She's an angler, great angler. Anyway, she came to talk to Aaron, and Aaron's like, "Oh, okay, I'll take this." And when she was talking to Aaron, she's like, "Oh, you're from Fish Donkey?" And she stopped talking to Aaron and started talking to us. And I was like, Aaron was looking at me like, what is going on? She wants to talk to you that bad? So yeah, I thought it was funny.
Val Tesh kind of gave us some street credibility.
She did.
Yeah.
I ended up having a pretty good Weeb story from that ice show as well, but that's for a whole nother day. So Darren Troseth jumped in. Can you hear us, Darren? Everything all good on your end? Welcome aboard.
I can hear you. Hear me?
Perfect. Right before you joined us, they were talking about you picking up Fish Donkey and being basically the first tournament director. And one of the questions I asked right before you jumped in was, how did you find them and what possessed you to jump on board for that first go-round with Fish Donkey?
Yes, so they actually found me. Darren found me. I believe he sent me a message letting me know, you know, of this app he had coming out. And this is something I'd been doing, you know, up to that time and looking for better ways to run these tournaments. So I was essentially doing what this app does, you know, before the app was available. And he contacted me and I saw the features and I was like, well, yeah, I'm going to try this here because I'm always looking for better ways to do this catch and release thing. So.
And you've run a lot of them since the day. I mean, I watch it all on social media. You're not that far away from me, but you run the Whisker Run, you run the Sturgeon Tournament, I don't remember what the name is, and now you're running some winter stuff. Plus, I think you took King of the Cats over there, too, recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I've kind of moved everything over to using the app just because it's so efficient for me. It saves time, and like I said, I'm always looking for a better way to do this. And like I was telling Darren a little bit ago, I think I'm up to like 30 contests I've run through the app now. So it's definitely a learning experience, and I'm always coming up with different things or new features. I'm begging for him to add to it as well.
Well, this is the part where I say that I ran a tournament, and you know, I don't know if anybody can see. I got the old Catitude t-shirt on today.
I love it.
I was surprised Bonnie would take my call after all that, getting it all set up and the confusion of all of that. But she'll still talk to me because here you are. it was a little tougher to learn for me than I thought. A couple of things, and the big one I think we had to go through was how to do that boat check, that virtual boat check in the middle. And, you know, you walked me through it. You took a lot more time to make it work than I think a lot of businesses and a lot of companies would have. We had great success with it from one of the, you know, from how we ran it. And I see in the email you're actually getting it now to shut off at a certain time of the night so we can continue it up in the morning. Is that correct?
Yes, on the multi-day tournaments, that's correct. Yes, that's a brand new feature.
And I also read that you're setting it up for leagues now, so it'll run leagues a little easier?
Yep, so a lot of leagues are similar to doing a multi-day tournament, much like Catitude, which was like, I think, a Friday-Saturday event. So leagues are basically the same thing. A lot of leagues, you know, you can only fish on Wednesday night, and it'll run for example, like 8 weeks long. So we can do the same thing as just open up the clock just on that Wednesday night, and then we could run it over like a period of 8 weeks and only have the capability to enter fish on that Wednesday night between, you know, maybe it's 4 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. So, yep.
Yeah, we have that feature now. It just came out like maybe a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
I saw the email. I went and it wasn't available for update yet, but I got it like 10 seconds after the email came. I looked, so I haven't been back yet on it. But, you know, talking about Catitude, that was kind of an odd deal we came up with because of the noon to 8 hours and then 7 to 4 the next day. And we did that because we had to go to a Friday-Saturday operation there. So we wanted locals to be able to still work till noon, get out there as soon as they could, and then get the full day. Well, what we found is a lot of fishermen really liked having both a morning bite and an evening bite in the same tournament. So I thought that was a pretty good deal. And I don't know if you changed that clock because of us and our request or not, but I appreciate it very much.
We got your back, Brad.
Yeah, you were one of the factors. And, you know, other people were asking for similar features. The guys out in Washington State, they do a lot of big fish, big walleye tournaments. They were looking for something like that as well. I think Glacial Lakes Walleye League was looking for that. Green Bay Walleye Series was looking for that.
Yeah. We even had one league, believe it or not, where every week they fish every Tuesday over the course of the summer. And every week they change the time that you can fish on Tuesday night because the sun starts setting later. So the deeper they got into summer, you know, a few more minutes they would get. So now if they can predict those sunset times a little bit in advance, we'd still be able to cater to that particular group.
That's pretty good because we have that same issue with our league, which we are not set up for this yet. But by the end of the summer, we're running out of daylight to get everything calculated, tabulated, and get the awards out. So definitely something to consider there. So I want to back up a step here and about how it goes as far as, you know, when you enter fish. Explain how you enter fish, and then from there I want to go into how it ranks and the app actually takes care of all the rankings and sorting as you go along throughout the tournament.
Sure. So once you join the tournament, whatever time the tournament starts, when you catch a fish, you simply tap on the name of your tournament. And since it's begun, there will be a button that appears that says enter a fish. And so when you catch a fish, you press the button on your phone that says enter a fish. And then it will open up the camera on your phone. And you simply take pictures of the fish. Most tournament directors require you to take two photos at a minimum. One is a picture of you holding the fish, your trophy shot, and then another picture of the fish on the measuring board to prove the length of the fish. And then some tournament directors will also require a video release. So we also have video capability. And if you check your rules and your tournament director has required you to take a video release of that fish going back into the water and not into a live well, you record your video. When you're done, you hit a check mark and it will say, what species is this? You enter your species and the length. And then once you hit the submit button, that is what sends that fish entry up to the leaderboard.
I'm going to jump in right here because of King of the Cats, Darren Troseth. that obviously takes a lot off of you as that's being entered in. And you, I believe, you guys went to just allowing a video for the measuring and everything in one. Is that correct, last year?
Yeah, it took a ton of work off me. I mean, you know, I'm getting, you know, I want to say, you know, like 300 fish entered or some weird number like that, you know, 300 to 500 fish, you know, and I'm having to sort through all these fishes, you know, manually, you know, checking it all. And this app just, it just does it all for me. I just have to verify it, you know. And as far as the video thing, I've been solely using video, especially for the bigger fish like the sturgeon that I've been doing here in this winter here. But even for the cats, you know, the bigger cats, I kind of prefer video because I can get a lot of information from a video, you know. Just if you just see a snapshot, you know, I don't know, I feel like there's even like circumstances you can tell where, you know, what's going on in the video, just to, you know, just to kind of the whole cheating thing, you can kind of disseminate from the video what's going on there. So I really like the video, and like I say, I almost would just like to do video alone. That's what I've been doing for the entry. Is like, you know, you got a 30-second clip, you know, measure the fish, hold the fish up, release it. A lot of guys can do that in 30 seconds. So the one clip is really all I need.
Are you allowing them to take the photo still if they choose rather than the video clip?
Yeah, basically what I'm saying is go ahead and just enter as much as you need to prove that fish real to me. But as little as one video is fine. That's all I need.
You know, I could have called you on the phone and asked you that question, but I bring you into a podcast to ask it instead because it's way more fun.
Why not? I get to sit there and blow the upside down. I'm a little discombobulated here because they're upside down on my screen.
Oh, really?
Well, you're all right on mine. I hope that's all that matters.
Yeah, you're right side up. You're good.
So I kind of interrupted there. Now, everything self-ranks. So, you know, in the case of the Catitude, it was the top five fish, and it would sort out the smaller fish as they came in. And in the case of King of the Cats, it would do the same thing. So is that pretty much – that's what everybody uses. There's no – I guess I don't even really know my question here, but it self-ranks, and explain how it self-ranks, and then, of course, you got to tell us what happens when we get a new leader.
Okay, I was kind of half listening, so I'll answer. But one more thing I like about the video, and it's about cheating. In addition to, like, you know, being able to tell the fish is alive, if you pick the fish up, say you're just doing, like, a walleye tournament or a crappie tournament or bass tournament, pick the fish up off of the measuring board. Like, you know, sturgeon, there's no measuring board for a sturgeon, but I guess you could make some, but most people just measure it by video differently. But anyway, these other tournaments, like bass tournaments, people can alter measuring boards and things like that. So if you're using video, you can ask them to take their photos and then pick the fish up off the measuring board so that you can see the board when they're done. And that eliminates them, like, altering boards, shortening boards, doing things like that. And then, you know, you have a very live fish. I mean, it's not a dead fish that's been frozen and unthawed. You put it in the water and you see it swim away, you know it's a live fish. If the fish won't swim away, you know, that's an indication that it's either been out of the water way too long, probably going to get penalized, or it's just not a live fish. And we did have people trying to submit dead fish before, which was evident because of the video.
You're talking about
measuring. So you're asking about the sorting, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. How it ranks.
The leaderboards.
Yeah, so it's no big deal. Ranking, just each fish that's entered has a numerical value. It gets sorted, and we can put we can put it on a leaderboard from largest to smallest. We're also doing stringers, which is like a bag. So we can do a bag of any amount, like a bag of 5, bag of 3, bag of 10, bag of up to 100. And so that would just – it would take your – if you did a bag of 5 or a stringer of 5 – it would be your 5 largest fish. You can enter 20 fish if you want. It'll just pick your 5 largest and make a score out of that, and each person's score will be automatically sorted. And then the beauty of that really is, I know Darren likes to verify every fish, but in some tournaments, say 1,000 fish get submitted, you would not need to check all 1,000. You could just check the winners. So if it was only paying the top 3 places, you could just check those fish from the top 3. And not have to deal with the 1,000 fish and even judge them, because they're all self-sorted. So you really only need to look at the top. You know, and I think the difference in a weigh tournament is you don't have that. You have to weigh every single fish that comes in and sort it and enter it and do all that. But, you know, in these tournaments on the Fish Donkey app, everything's going to be input by the user, and they're going to self-report the score, which you will then verify. So you really only need to look at the winners.
Stepping back to Catitude, that is a piece of information that Ruth Ann and I could have really, really used because we didn't think about it. So here we are at 12:15 on Friday. Ding, 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 ding. And we're trying to keep up on this. And by about noon on Saturday, we looked at each other and said, why did we do that? That was really stupid. Because it was good fishing.
Most tournament directors find it really fun in the beginning, you know, especially if it's your first tournament. They're like, oh, I can start verifying fish now. And they want to see how the process works.
Yeah.
And but then they're kind of digging a hole because then, you know, for the first hour, you verified everything. And then later you're like, well, you figure it out, right? You're like, why am I verifying hundreds of fish that aren't going to be winning fish when you could sit back and watch? But you've created a little bit of a monster because then people will start contacting you and saying, why isn't my fish verified? Why isn't my fish verified?
So it's okay to not verify them if you just want to be lazy, which I would probably tend to do. But if it was me, but I think people really do like it when you verify their fish. It kind of, it's like an acknowledgement to them that they caught it, and they question it if it's not verified. They're like, hey, why isn't that verified? So, you know, it's like there's, you know, pluses and minuses to doing it that way, but it can be a time saver.
I think going back to it, I would not even look at them until the last hour of the first day. I know I verified 150 fish that didn't amount to anything just on day one.
Yeah, right. You know, and you're looking at it for so long, and like you're like down to the quarter inch, and then it turns out that fish isn't even in the running. But it is still good to manage the top of the leaderboard so someone doesn't get on there and miss a decimal point or something and have this huge number on the leaderboard and mess it up for the whole tournament. So you kind of want to manage the top of it, you know, make sure things are right.
But here's what we'll do next time, Brad. We'll remind you just to use the messaging system to shoot everybody a text message during the tournament that says, don't worry if your fish aren't verified. We're going to look at the top winners at the very end. And that should cut off a lot of people contacting you while you're very busy. Mm-hmm. A lot of people forget, and Darren Troseth, I'm sure, will back me up on this, that most tournament directors are volunteers and they're not making any money and they're really running tournaments because it's something they love. And so they'll get around to verifying later when they can find a little chunk of time to do it. And so sometimes it's a thankless job and a lot of people forget that. So thank both of you. Thank you for being tournament directors. It's a lot of work.
I kind of have a funny story about that. I had a guy last year from my sturgeon contest that actually won some money, and I couldn't get a hold of him. So I've had this money since last year, and I just figured he got mad and quit the contest or something. Well, this year he joined again, and he's got a fish on the board. So what I did, I denied his fish. And guess what? He contacted me, so I was able to contact with him.
You had to deny his fish in order to be able to pay him because he just wasn't responding. Is that right?
And he was just like, you know, it's $100. It's not a big deal, you know. But that's how I got his contact information. I just denied his fish, you know. So
wow,
it's kind of funny.
Well, I'm still old school enough that you may or may not note that I actually did a real rules meeting last year. I did it. I shot a video a couple days before with the rules and put it out on social media that we actually had a rules meeting like you would for any other tournament.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I think that's a smart move, Brad, when there's a lot of money involved for sure. And there's a little bit of a disconnect that people love the idea of being in a virtual tournament. But they're forgetting that it's really not a virtual tournament. It is a real fishing tournament. The burden of proof is on the angler to prove with the correct documentation that are in your rules to prove the measurement of the fish. So it is a real fishing tournament with a virtual leaderboard. And it's really that simple. And so a lot of anglers are ignoring reading the rules. And so I think it's still important. If you want to have, when there's a lot of money involved, you should probably still have that meeting and go over the rules with people so that they take it seriously. It is a real tournament. There's real money involved.
And I think another thing that's kind of become a trend for success in these kind of tournaments is like, so for one thing, it's less successful if you take your existing format, which is like, say, maybe like a one-off type format, and try to constrict the app to fit that format. It might end up being less fun because you might lose some of the fun parts of the virtual tournament, like fishing against a live leaderboard is incredibly fun. You don't want to lose that. One of the things we're seeing that is successful is when you have a Facebook group or some kind of a group following that people interact on the side. Like, so there's this chat going on and like more user feedback between people. It seems like some of the most successful tournaments have that interaction as well, as in addition to having the tournament, you know, rules and stuff laid out good, is they also have that social aspect that people are interacting.
That was the one thing that I thought was missing of any of it, was the social aspect. But I'm usually the guy at a traditional tournament who, if everything's rolling smooth, you'll see me not doing anything. I'll just be greeting people or maybe helping them move fish and not really doing anything. So if you ever see me at a traditional style tournament that I'm running and I'm kind of not doing anything, that means things are rolling pretty smooth. If I'm running around doing things, that's usually when things aren't going. But when we did the Catitude, that was the one thing that I kind of missed, was being on the shore. And fortunately, we leased the measuring boards, so we had to see them so they could get them and had to see them so they could return them. So we got to talk to everybody, and that gave us a lot of feedback on what we can do better. And people were really, really receptive once they kind of got the system down. That was probably the hardest part, was figuring things out. And we ran a practice tournament the week before, and the words going around us was they were all model citizens because they already had all the kinks worked out. They already knew what they were doing, the folks who were in the practice tournaments. So I highly recommend practice tournaments.
Yeah. And we have the demo practice entering a fish tournament open all the time, so people can really practice from their living room if they want, especially on a hot, hot weekend like what you had. That was insane. I think you were in the high 90s on the day of your event. So
we actually had
practice
people,
it from the comfort of your own home.
We actually had people returning their boards and saying, I have a complaint and it's a big one. And we're like, oh no, what did we do wrong now? Could you turn the thermostat down just a touch next time? It was awful. So
yeah.
You briefly touched on the aspect of cheating, and it's the angler's burden of proof to prove that that fish is real and what they say. But you've got some other things in, you know, with the GPS and some of that stuff, so you can track that they're on the right water and different things. Talk about that a little bit.
So that's kind of one of the things, I think without the small bit of training you need as an angler, is you need to understand that you need to register your fish through the app and take the photos with the app. So instead of just going out and taking photos all day, because we get some people who, when they don't read the instructions, they'll just go out and take photos all day on their camera and you know, on their phone, and then come back and try to figure out how to send them in, because you can't do that. That would allow for cheating. So we prevent cheating by controlling all photos with our app. So we take the photos, we lock them down and make sure there's no changes. And then, you know, we can make sure it's not the same fish measured twice by including a release video. And now the fish is gone. It's not being measured twice. You can really tell even just from looking at the photos, if someone tries to register the same fish, the fish have little marks on them that are identical. So it's just a lot easier if someone takes a video release, because you see it swim away, you know, it's, you know, a second. If in order to take a, in order to enter it again, you'd have to catch it again, because it basically swam away. But, you know, that's really kind of one of the things we spend a lot of time on with the app, is preventing cheating, making sure that it's a legitimate photo and that you didn't have to have a control item in the photo, and that the photos aren't altered. So if you are a tournament host, tournament director, you'll get a message if someone alters their photo. And that happens sometimes. People inadvertently alter their photo. They don't even know it. It's like someone ice fishing out in Lake of the Woods. They have a bad connection. They take pictures of their fish and they go in and start cropping them and changing the lighting and making their selfie look better. And when they go to send in their photos and they finally get internet connection and things get sent in, it comes in and says that those photos are altered. So we've had that happen, you know, but it does alert the host if someone makes a change like that. It's one of the big things for us is preventing cheating.
And real simple too, just small things like the button that says enter a fish is not available until the start time. And again, and it shuts off at the end time. So yeah. We've had phone calls for tech support at 5 a.m, people trying to enter fish into their tournament and they can't find the button. And so the first question when I get those early morning tech support calls is, well, what time does your tournament start? And they'll say 7. And I'm like, well, it's only 5 a.m. So you're going to have to wait until 7 to start catching your fish. So
we got that same question at Catitude. I mean, that was a very common one. It was about 10 in the morning. Where's the button? Was this thing going to work?
Yes. Yeah.
So the other thing is, and I'm going to bring this up more so anglers watching this understand, you do have the GPS of the photos that they're in the proper body of water, but they're not shared. And I heard that a lot, and you made absolutely sure to tell me about that a lot of different times. But if we need to double check something, you can double check it. So I just want to bring that up for you to explain a little bit, but just to rest assured for anglers thinking about participating, that your spots are not going to be given out to everybody else.
That's correct. So we do capture the GPS coordinates for every photo that's taken through the app, but we strip the data out. So when tournament directors need to know if their winning fish were located on the correct body of water.
This meeting no longer has a time limit. We might be getting shut down soon.
No? Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Go ahead. Great. Sorry.
So when tournament directors need to know if the winning fish were on the correct body of water, at that point, we will take the winning fish photos and decrypt them, and we will look for the GPS coordinates, and we will let that tournament director know either yes or no that the winning fish was found on the correct body of water. But we will not give the exact coordinates, not even to the tournament director. So anglers should be rest assured that we do not reveal their secret fishing hole to anybody.
Basically, if something happens to me, nobody's going to be able to check location because I'm the only one who can log into it and do it. But that's probably not a good thing to say, but that's how it is right now.
Darren Troseth, have you had to check any? Darren Troseth,
Well, I mean, basically, though, it's that threat is real that we will check if you go out of bounds. Mm-hmm. So that keeps people in bounds. But we have had people go out of bounds, and I don't know how it's like reported by other anglers or something. Hey, check this guy's photos. I don't think he's on the right lake, or this lady's photos actually. We've had both.
Yeah.
I have not had to check that personally. The contests I run, it's sort of, you know, everyone knows everyone, and if someone's fishing out of bounds, usually they know anyway. So if it was like for a lot of money and you know, everything was really strict, then, you know, I might go ahead and check to make sure that winner won. But in my case, you know, it's a lot of it is just kind of more for fun than anything, and if someone does cheat, someone's going to find out, and then they'll just be blackballed from these anyway. So I kind of trust people, you know, for the amount of money that we're doing these for, you know, that I haven't had to go through that.
I had to ask because King of the Cats is up. The red is included in it, but the Canadian side is not. That's why I wanted to ask.
Right. And in that case, there's no prize money anyways. It's just a fun catch and release contest. So, in fact, I had winners this year that were upset they didn't win any money, so I'm going to have to revisit that, I guess, because, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years, and it's always just been, you know, kind of a bragging rights thing. So in that case, it's not too big of a deal. If someone decides they're going to go out of bounds, I guess that's their prerogative.
So I'm going to switch gears from the actual app itself, and, you know, you are still relatively new in the business, but you have to be some of the few people on this planet that think COVID might have been a good thing for business as far as permits being changed and weigh-ins being canceled and your app being the answer to having events and making events happen. So you have had to see a good uptick with the whole COVID pandemic coming through of 2020.
So we lost some really big tournaments that were would have been high profile and given us some publicity that really could have helped us a lot. We definitely picked up some business from people who had their leagues or tournaments canceled due to COVID. So absolutely, we had an uptake on that. But we also lost a lot of big things.
Overall, it's been positive. You know, I mean, yeah. Because it's one of, in a lot of situations, it's the only thing you can do. Right now is you can't gather for a weigh-in. So it's been, has not hurt our business overall.
Yeah. And we picked up tournaments in other countries too. We lost some in Canada. We gained a couple in Canada. We picked up some in Australia, Bulgaria, Lithuania.
Norway.
Yeah.
Norway.
I never would have thought of the international aspect, but that's really cool. So yeah. What kind of fish are they targeting in some of those tournaments?
Yeah.
Gehede. The Norwegians, you know, it's all in Norway. So it's all in Norwegian. So, like, they don't just go straight from our fish list. They type in the Norwegian names for fish. Cod, but I don't know what the Norwegian name is.
Jetty. We don't know how to pronounce it right either.
Yeah, and the same thing in Australia. Like, Australia actually has a flathead. I should
they
send
have
you
a lot of flathead tournaments.
But the flatheads don't look the same. I mean, they truly, like, I guess the flatheads here are giant and they kind of have a flathead, but the flatheads there actually look like they got ran over by a car. Like they're so flat. They're almost, I was like, almost like a flounder head. So flat.
Yeah.
And they're small.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because they don't get as big or if they were just catching small ones or what the deal
but
was.
But we've had some with bream and northern pike is big even there and perch is also very big. Today one came up in New South Wales. Has two different types of crab on the list.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it's fun. Awesome. And we had one in New Zealand, a couple of people posted flying fish and they're just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful fish.
How are they going to measure and enter crab? What's the system or method for that? For measuring and entering crab?
How are they going to measure the crab?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm gonna find out. I might join that tournament just so I can see. No, I can see him anyway.
Something.
I can see him anyway. But,
well, that's, I mean, is there that this? I could go on and on and on. I'm pretty excited and kind of looking at 2021. We may not do our catitude in what we did last year because we were a fill-in for a long-standing tournament and they're planning on coming back. So
yeah, understood.
But we are planning something. It's probably going to be more season-long type thing with almost a league feel into it as well, yet to be determined. Darren Trosek, do you have anything new and exciting planned as far as using Fish Donkey app for 2021?
I'm going to keep continuing to do the King of the Cats. And like I said, I have the winter sturgeon contest going on right now. And I kind of like the feel of a season-long contest. You know, it kind of builds up throughout the year. People get excited. They see a fish enter. They want to join in and do it too. So, like I said, the sturgeon contest I'm doing now is all season. And one of the other things I also like to do that I'm doing for this one is I'll create a Google document. And then rather than sending out these long, drawn-out updates through the app, I just send them a link, you know, where you can do the email all or text all and say, you know, go to this Google Doc and here's the latest update, you know, where we are, any new happenings, any rule changes or anything. And then if someone joins late, they can go back to that first update and just read all the way down as it's been going throughout the year. So that's one of the things that I do with my contest as well.
We may be discussing that for this new one we're kicking around because we're looking at potentially doing 4 1-month-long events with a cumulative total at the end of it and making it Red River of the North. That's, I've talked to Bonnie briefly about it, but it's still being kicked around.
That's the beauty. There's so many options. I mean, you can customize it exactly how you want it. And that's what's great about it.
So we're winding down on fish dunks. Is there anything new and exciting that I have missed that you would like directors and anglers to know that you're working on or have coming out, coming into 2021?
I'm so glad you asked.
So yes, a couple, there's a few big tournaments coming up. Tim Thomas out in New York State's running a huge tournament right now. He might crush our fundraising effort. He might end up with the biggest tournament of all. We think he might anyway. He's right around $11,000 right now. He's got to make it over 14, and I think he's going to get there because there's always a rush right at the end. Anyway, Tim Thomas out in New York running the New York Winter Classic. But then we've got in Minnesota, because I'm sure this podcast is heavy in this area, Northeastern Minnesota, United Way is running a big tournament. And that starts sometime in January, maybe January 15th, something like that. Late, it's mid-January. We don't have a lot going on in Canada right now, but we have one ice belt-wide tournament, including the U.S. and Canada. Can we talk about it? NHT?
Yeah,
so by the time this comes out, it will be live. Yeah. HT Enterprises running a really nice competition, ice belt-wide, only $5 to enter that one, and multi-species. I think there's five or six different species. Mm-hmm. There's going to be something for everyone. Also in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Wisconsin, we have Holes for Heroes, Fishing for Life, Tom Goodrich and the gang. They're running a tournament. They're doing two events. They're doing a live event on like something like 10 or 12 specific lakes, and then they're doing a month-long event leading up to that. Then we also have the Ice Queen again, WAM, Women Anglers of Minnesota. That's Ice Belt wide. Ladies only. Then we have the Brainerd JCs, the Extravaganza. That's that's the end of January, but that's just a 3-hour tournament.
Yep, Winter Carnival, all of Minnesota for the month of January, and Wheelhouse Warriors. On Mille Lacs in February, and about three other really big ones that just aren't quite ready to be posted yet. But we're going to have a ton of ice fishing available for people this year.
The Wisconsin State High School Ice Fishing Championship. And for that, we are developing a new feature, which I did testing on today. It is this close to being posted. We just need to do the website, always lags behind the app. The app is ready, looking sweet. It's called Mixed Bag. And so with Mixed Bag, what you can do is multiple species of stringers. So you can do a stringer of five perch, stringer of five walleye, stringer of 20 pike. Yeah, and add in three flathead. And then if you do a mixed bag, it will total all those stringers up. So you'll be able to fish with multiple stringers and see like who's leading if you would add all those scores together. And that's pretty fun.
Yeah. You might want that if you're doing mixed catfish.
Yeah, I think that'll come into handy because for the King of the Cats at the end of the year, I like to do the winner of the channel and the flathead combined. So that should probably pull that out of there. Yeah, yep.
That could be a huge option down in like Sioux City where they have the flatheads and the channels and they try to separate them, but they end up being together. And usually the guy who catches the biggest flathead wins the day and everybody's mad.
Yeah, it turns out to be a lot of fun to be able to see those results as an angler. Like, you know, if you're behind and you know what you should focus on, what species, it'll make you change your fishing plans for the day. If you can see that total score and see where you think you can improve and fish against that, it's more somehow more interactive. I didn't appreciate that at first, but I'm really starting to like that aspect of using the app.
So that reads a question just out of being funny, but I know I was talking to Bonnie one day. I was telling her about the multi-species tournament we used to have about 15 years ago on the river. So you think about this one, Darren, in your next working on the app. We used to have, if you got a catfish, you got the inches. If you got the pike, you got the inches. If you got a walleye, it was length times five subtracted from your score. And some various things like that. So, you know, it's just something to think about as you go forward. Yeah.
Do that with sheephead, for sure.
Anyway. And if you got an eel pout in the summer, you got like length times 100 because you never catch an eel pout in the summer. But if you got an eel pout in the winter, it was just a standard length. It. And then on the red, if you got a sturgeon, contest is over. You win. That was the end of it.
You just win.
So So I got one more question I missed on my list. Do you have any issues with permitting from various states that come up that you've heard of or know of?
So we don't give legal advice, and because we do work with different countries from all over the world, plus 50 states, we just don't have a department of people who can keep up on permitting. It really is up to every individual tournament director, just like you would in an on-site tournament. It's really their job still to fulfill their responsibilities to see if they need to get a permit. If they're in a state that requires you to have a permit and you're running a tournament on one leg for 1 day or 2 days and you're taxing the resources there, you still need to run all of your regular permitting. So it's really up to them to check with their state regulations.
I was just going to say yes. There are issues, yeah, but it's not, so it just depends. Like, you can totally avoid the tournament, the permit for your tournament, if you're covering multiple bodies of water and it's spread out over time, or if it's multi-state. No one really knows who you're supposed to buy that permit from anyway. And you're so spread out, your angling time on the water is not like you're gathering at one place and putting a lot of pressure in one body of water, because you're just like you're going fishing and you're just going to record your fish while you're doing it. So it's a little bit different situation with not having to need permits for those kind of deals. But, you know, like North Dakota, I think, is really tough for anybody. Every tournament director we talk to from North Dakota is afraid to post any tournament in North Dakota.
No comment.
It's ridiculous.
So I think that's everything I've got for you guys on Fish Donkey. If you got anything to add, now would be the time. But since I've got Troseth here, I want to talk about his guiding for a couple of minutes before we end. So if you guys
could, you know, one thing I'll add for the Fish Donkey thing, just if there's any anglers watching this that are in a Fish Donkey contest or going to do it, and they utilize a video system like I do, you start getting comfortable taking a video and doing it all in one shot. And I mentioned how easy that was before, but for those new people, or even people that have done it a while, there's a chance you could hit the picture button instead of the video button. And you think you're taking a video, you got everything done, there goes the fish. Now you go to review, the fish is gone. So that's the one thing it's a kind of a dangerous, slippery slope, because that fish is gone. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm afraid a contest winner is going to get released with a blurry picture attached to it. You know, they think they took a video of it. So if you're an angler and you're doing that, go ahead and practice. You know, make sure you know where all the buttons are, all the flashes and everything. I just got to say that.
That is solid advice, and I never would have thought of that one. So,
Yeah.
And that's a good point.
We realize that there are anglers out there who want to participate who are going to be nervous about using an app. There's no doubt about it. So we do, when you set up a tournament, and we try to encourage tournament directors to keep some of the things that we have in the welcome message and in the rules, like, please watch this 1 minute video on how to enter a fish. I mean, who doesn't have time for a 1 minute training video? And then also a place in there to say in the rules, don't forget, you can try practice entering a fish before the real tournament starts. So we try to help safeguard that, and I hope that doesn't happen to anybody, Darren. With the winning fish, we try to hope, you know, to help so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, you could, yeah.
It could happen.
I probably, if it was that big of a fish and it was like a lot of money, I probably wouldn't release it all in one shot. I might do the measurement video, stop it, make sure it's on the camera, and like look at it, and then maybe restart it.
Yeah.
Add a second video being released.
Yeah. But it's a great advice. You do need to get familiar with the process and make sure you know you can review your submissions before you hit submit. Yeah, that's a good point, Darren.
Unless the fish is done, then you can't review it. Well, you can, but you can review what's not there. But yeah, definitely practice. That's the only thing I can stress.
Yeah.
Well, Darren and Bonnie from Fish Donkey, I want to thank you for joining. Please stay on for the next few minutes. I just want to take a couple minutes and talk about the guiding business down around the Twin Cities with Mr. Trosetz. So you started up here, you've been around forever, but you started your guide service here a couple years back, and it appears it's going along really nicely for you. So you're on the Minnesota River, the Mississippi River, and the St. Croix, is that correct?
Yep, and that's where the Three Rivers name comes from, the Three Rivers. Minnesota, Mississippi, and St. Croix.
So I would say you were probably a catfish guy, but I'm going to say you're every bit of sturgeon as well as catfish, obviously, if by following you. But which one, if there is any, or is it about 50-50?
So that the sturgeon thing is what seems to be really popular. I get a lot more demand for the sturgeon thing. I think it's more of a, you know, you can't catch sturgeon everywhere like in catfish. So I think it's that. It's the size of the fish. And I honestly, I like guiding for sturgeon more too, because the St. Croix River is a lot more stable, more, you know, I know what to expect at the launches. You know, the Minnesota River and the Mississippi River, you get one big rain and, you know, just like the Red, you know, one big rain, you're down for 2 weeks or whatever. So, if you were to ask me, I prefer probably guiding for sturgeon just because of the consistency.
Are you doing specific flathead trips, or are you doing catfish trips when you're doing your?
Yeah, trips? I mean, there are guests that, you know, they just kind of want to go out and catch anything. There's guys that want to go out and just specifically target flatheads. And when I'm targeting flatheads, I do kind of mix in, you know, some channel cat stuff too, just to keep the action. And a lot of times people are happy just mixing in the channel cats with the flatheads too. But I've some of my biggest flatheads have been caught on a little, you know, quarter size piece of cut bait. So there's always that chance of catching them, which is nice. There's always some action.
I see you got a really fancy new boat. It looks like the bomb, actually. You want to talk about that fancy new rig for a second?
Yeah, thanks. So, yeah, it's kind of a long deal coming. I've been looking. And the way I fish, I just wanted to find a boat that had a very forward console that allowed a lot of room for putting people in chairs and fighting fish. And they just don't make that kind of boat really around this area of the Midwest, you know, the walleye type boats. So this new boat, I got a Kingfisher. They're made in Canada, and they're kind of made for the rivers out there out west, the sturgeon rivers, where they're set up for anchor fishing. You know, there's just a lot of room, and they're built really solid, so you can bang into stuff, which eventually I will from time to time out on the Minnesota River. So it would be a great Red River boat. It would work really well up in that area too.
I wouldn't know anything about running into things.
Right. it's the norm pretty much, right?
I'm actually pretty good at avoiding, but I'll tell you one. About 3 years ago, water was coming up. I don't remember if it flooded or not, and I had this woman that was traveling through town with three kids, and I didn't see a floating log, and I go, oop, and I swung the boat over. I hit it so hard, I bucked her right out of her seat.
Oh,
and
man.
I still got a dent on my boat. She laughed about it. I was not laughing at all. It's a little bit funny now. It wasn't then at all. But, you know, that's one of those things with rivers. You got to keep your eyes open and understand what you're looking at.
Absolutely. If you spent any amount of time on the rivers, you have a story. It just, you know, thankfully most of them aren't tragic, but most of them do end up with a little sizable bill, repair bill. So, but most of the times, you know, you end up okay. So that's a good thing. But yeah, it's always dangerous. That's why it's good to hire a guy to go out there.
When I think I'm worth more when the water's low than when it's high as far as navigation goes. Everybody, you know, when it's pressing flood stages, oh, it's got to be scary out there. I'm like, not at all. You don't hit anything when it's flooding. It's when it's a foot deep and you're ripping down the middle 40 miles an hour. That's when things get hairy.
Right. Absolutely. The only difference is when it's high water, then stuff started getting a little dangerous, you know, when you got trees floating into you and stuff. That the power of that water can certainly be dangerous.
Yeah, that's the other thing that you got to watch for. I've been pretty fortunate the way the Red runs, though, is the fish tend to get off onto the secondary seams, and you can avoid most of the garbage floating by. So you could tell there was new boaters this year in our August flood just by listening to them driving down the middle of the river, thumping everything as they went. But we're running a little low on time, folks. I want to thank you all. Darren Troseth, give us your website, how to get a hold of you if they want to fish with you.
Yeah, you can check me out at www.3rivers3riversfishingadventures.com. My phone number is 612 247-1579, or you can check out my Facebook page. I'm pretty active on Facebook, so that's a good way to get a hold of me. I try to stay active there.
And Darren and Bonnie with Fish Donkey, how do we get the app and how do we get set up with you guys?
Fishdonkey.com. And if you want the app, fishdonkey.com/app. And you can download iTunes, Google Play, install, and like Bonnie said, try out the practice tournament so you're familiar with how it works. And our phone numbers are on there too. Our phone numbers are in the app. You can call us or text us.
Awesome. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us here on Catfish Best Source. We'll be in touch, I'm sure, as the season goes on.
Thanks, Brad. Good luck with the podcast.
That's another issue of
Thank you.
Catfish Best Source. Stay tuned for next week's Catfish Best Source. But between now and then, check out Grand Forks Best Source for your local podcast at gfbestsource.com. You can find me on the web, redrivercatfish.com. Facebook or Instagram. Until next week, I'm your host, Brad Durick.